Everyone, welcome back. This is chapters 5 and 6 of Echo. Chapter 5.
"Won't you join me and the men?"
asked Uncle Gunther when the lunch whistle blew. Friedrich hurried to take off his apron and grab his lunch pail. "No thanks, Uncle. I have lunchmates." Uncle Gunther shook his head, waving him off.
"Your father told me about them. Go on, then, but only if I might meet them someday. Or better yet, eat them for dinner."
Friedrich grinned and ran from the factory, knowing Uncle Gunther only teased. He skirted around buildings and across a large grassy field to the edge of a pond. Beyond, a dense wood loomed. Friedrich slipped through the shrubbery to his favorite spot, where a felled tree lay on its side. He sat down and three red-necked grebes waddled out of the forest, rushing toward him. Friedrich tossed bits of bread to his greedy friends. As he ate, a wind picked up. Dark clouds drifted overhead, obscuring the sun. The grebes' high-pitched quacking punctuated the air.
"Ladies, are you ready to be my audience? Please use your best concert manners," said Friedrich.
The grebes ignored him, chirruping and pecking at the crumbs.
The pines rustled in a long, drawn-out swoosh. From the nearby lumberyard, he heard the pinging of a hammer on metal.
Quack, chirrup, swoosh, 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 ping, 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 ping.
Within the rhythms, Friedrich heard Brahms' lullaby. He hummed the melody. He picked up a stick, closed his eyes, and lifted his arms. He pictured the orchestra. His right hand kept the tempo with the baton. His left cued the instruments, bouncing on an invisible plane to bring in the strings, waving in the woodwinds, flicking his wrist to usher in the brass, pointing to the harp. He opened his eyes and realized the music he heard was not only in his mind. Someone was playing a harmonica. The notes were clear, the composition complex. When he slowed the tempo, the music slowed too. When he increased it, it quickened. A musician was following his direction. But from where? He looked around. There was no one about. He dropped his arms, yet the music continued. The lilt was slow, resonant, and haunting. One moment, the notes sounded as if they came from a flute. The next, a clarinet. In the low notes, he could hear the cello. Friedrich had never heard playing like this before. He listened, mesmerized, his eyes and ears searching to determine the origin of the sound. They settled on an open window on the uppermost floor of the warehouse across the field. He sucked in his breath. The graveyard. Friedrich had never been there, but he'd heard the tales. It's where machines go to die. Strange things happen in the shadows. There are glimmers and apparitions. Some people go up and never come down. Friedrich hesitated, but the song was so compelling, so curious. How frightening could it be? Besides, they were only rumors. He gathered his lunch, walked to the entrance, and left his pail on the threshold. Surely someone who had made such music could not be a danger to him. He opened the heavy door and stepped inside the foyer. The music came from far above. Slowly, he climbed the dim stairwell. At the top floor, Friedrich pushed open a door and entered a cavernous room. Floor-to-ceiling arched windows ran down either side, but only a few needle-like gleams of light penetrated the years of grime on the glass, leaving the room in shadows. Old machines, bulky figures of steel and iron, filled the space. On the ceiling, dozens of wheels had been suspended, and below them on the floor, or attached to tables, were their counterparts, all the elements of a once elaborate pulley system. The leather belts, now disconnected and useless, dangled from the rafters like black snakes. It's where machines go to die. The music was louder now, but there was still no sign of a musician. The stale, dusty air made Friedrich sneeze. The music stopped.
"Hello?"
he called. His word echoed. "Hello? Hello?" A mouse skittered across his path. The refrain from the lullaby picked up again. It seemed to come from the far corner of the room. The music was so insistent that it pulled him forward. Tears sprang to his eyes. Who played so beautifully and with such passion? He maneuvered around the deformed skeletons of machines. A large contraption covered with a dingy oilcloth blocked his view of the corner. He edged around it. Again, the music stopped. He called out, "Please, show yourself!" Once more, he heard the lullaby. He peered into the dimness at the spot where he was certain the song had originated. No one was there. Friedrich went to the window he had seen from the field. He was sure it had been open, but now it wasn't. The glass was dirty and opaque, like all the others. Spider webs draped the corners. The floor was covered with an undisturbed carpet of dust. No one had stood there for some time. Glimmers and apparitions. Was it a ghost, he'd heard? Or someone playing a trick on him? Friedrich turned and studied the immense space. The only way out was the way he had entered. No one could have slipped by him without notice. He turned to the window again. A wooden, claw-footed desk sat in front of it. He leaned across it and rubbed at the grime on the glass, creating a porthole. He could see the felled tree where he'd eaten lunch and the grebes nearby. This was the right window. He tried the latch and, as he did, bumped the desk. Something rattled. Friedrich opened the top drawer. Inside was a harmonica box. He picked it up and studied the lid. Marine band made by M. Honer, Germany, number 1896. He opened it and removed the model that the company usually exported to the United States of America. The date on the box indicated the year it was introduced. But the cover plate looked newer and the body older. Opposite the side with the blowholes on the black painted edge was a tiny red letter M. Was this the instrument someone had been playing? If so, how? He had heard music, hadn't he? He felt a chill and shivered, his eyes darting from shadow to shadow. The factory whistle droned. Friedrich jumped. Strange things happen. Some people go up and never come down. Quickly, he put the harmonica back into the box, slipped it into his chest pocket, and retraced his steps through the room. He scrambled down the stairs, tumbling the last few steps, until he burst out the door. He had to bend over for a minute to catch his breath before grabbing his lunch pail and running back to his building. "Nephew, what happened? You look pale as a ghost," said Uncle Gunther when Friedrich reached his table. "I may have heard one," said Friedrich, putting on his apron and describing what had just happened.
"There's a logical explanation," said Uncle Gunther. "The sound of music is like water finding a path. It travels in many directions. It might have amplified sound coming from a different floor in the building." Friedrich wasn't so sure. The music had felt so present, as if the harmonica wanted him to find it.
"Do you suppose I could keep it?"
"I don't see why not. The company gives us several each year."
Friedrich stepped closer and pointed to the red M. "What do you make of this?" Uncle Gunther studied it.
"It looks like a craftsman's mark, but it's not customary to do such a thing. It won't affect the sound. The instrument looks in good shape. Cover plate's been changed. There's no telling how long it was in the desk. Probably belonged to an employee from years ago. You'll want to clean and tune it."
Uncle Gunther clapped him on the back.
"Friedrich, my boy, you'll be a hero if the men find out you went to the graveyard alone. Most of them wouldn't dare."
As he walked home that evening, Friedrich pulled the harmonica from his pocket and lifted it to his lips. He blew a few chords. Uncle Gunther was right. It was out of tune. But for now, Friedrich didn't mind. He played the first few notes of "Alle Vogel sind schon da," "All the little birds are back." The harmonica had a rich, ethereal quality, the same alluring sound he'd heard earlier in the graveyard room. The more he played, the more the air around him seemed to pulse with energy. He felt protected by the cloak of the music, as if nothing could stand in his way. Was he just excited that Elizabeth was coming home and his family would be together again? Or was it something else? He became so entranced by the tone of the harmonica and the simple, hypnotic song, that he'd passed the schoolyard before he remembered to feel anxious. He turned down his own block and realized he'd walked almost all the way home without hunching over. He didn't even mind that Mrs. Von Gerber, their next-door neighbor, who always bothered him with gossip or home remedies for his birthmark, was out sweeping in front of her garden and her geranium boxes. Instead of avoiding her, as usual, he called out, "Hello, Mrs. Von Gerber." She stopped and stared in surprise. "Good evening, Friedrich." He waved and slipped the mysterious harmonica into his pocket. With every step up the front walk, it seemed to thump against his chest like a heartbeat. Chapter 6. Friedrich was embraced by the aroma of roasted meat and cinnamon and apples. He grinned as he hung up his coat on the hall tree. Then he rubbed his hands together with anticipation. The old cuckoo clock, with its carved pinecone weights, hugged the wall. The tiny door, framed in a wreath of lindenwood leaves and forest animals, opened. The cuckoo slid forward and chirped the hour. "Too bad, old friend," said Friedrich. "You cannot enjoy our meal." "In here," a voice called from the kitchen. Friedrich found Father at the table and Elizabeth facing the stove, stirring something meaty with a wooden spoon. An apron was tied at her waist over a gray skirt and white blouse. Friedrich's eyes swept the small kitchen, the walnut hutch with his mother's collection of hand-painted saucers, the counter with the tin canisters sitting in descending order, the window with the green shutter, and Elizabeth, finally home. He rushed up behind her, put his arms around her waist, and lifted her off the floor. "Friedrich, put me down!" Father laughed. Friedrich released her. "Did you miss me, Elizabeth?" She was almost 18, taller than Friedrich, but not by much, with the same blue eyes as his and Father's. Her blonde hair hung long and loose, and her dimpled cheeks were flushed pink from the warmth of the room. Fresh bread sat on a board on the table. Spitzel rested in a pan. A strudel, dusted with sugar, cooled on the back of the stove. Friedrich reached around to tug on her apron string. She dodged him, laughing, and threatened him with the wooden spoon. "Have you tried to scrub off a patient's birthmark with the shoe brush yet?" he asked. She put her hands on her hips. "Will you never forget that?" "I don't forget easily. Remember when we used to play hide and seek? And if you found me before I was safe, your reward was to bandage me like a mummy." Father nodded. "Even then you were a nurse." Last year, Elizabeth went to Stuttgart to live with their only relatives besides Uncle Gunther, mother's cousin and his wife and their daughter, Marguerite, who was in nursing school too. But now Elizabeth's last 3 months of training would be in the local hospital with the family physician, Dr. Braun. "It is good to have you home," said Friedrich, saluting. "I am ready to be ordered about." Elizabeth pointed the spoon toward a chair. "Sit next to Father, and I'll bring you the spitzel. Father, you start. Tell me all about your last days at work and your first days as a man of golden age." At the kitchen table, Father talked about all the congratulations and good-natured kidding he'd taken during his last week of work, and the dinners and lunches to honor him. He talked about starting a small chamber ensemble of musicians. "Of course, it won't be as lively as our little performances in the parlor. I'm counting on hearing a polka on the piano later." She looked at Friedrich and rolled her eyes. "What about you?" "Father submitted my application to the conservatory." "He will perform for the jury in January. I can tell he's apprehensive," said Father. "Talk to him, Elizabeth."
"Of course you must. It's what you've always wanted," said Elizabeth. "What is your worry?"
Friedrich shrugged. Wasn't it clear what worried him? "The jury is only 8 people," said Father.
It was easy for Father to say. He wasn't the one who had to stand in front of strangers and pretend there was nothing wrong with his face and perform. And if he was accepted, what then? Would he be able to sit in a classroom with students he'd never met? Even if he could endure the furtive glances and downcast eyes, what would be the point anyway? How could he stand in front of an audience or dare to conduct an entire orchestra? The idea made his stomach churn.
They will be lucky to have your talent, said Elizabeth. And now, more than ever, Germany needs its true citizens to rise to their potential to be shining examples. Father frowned.
Well, yes, that's one rationale, but...
And what of your work at the hospital? Friedrich didn't want to talk about the conservatory, and he sensed an argument brewing between Father and Elizabeth. It's going well. I observed a reconstructive surgery the other day on a small boy's lip. It was thrilling. I hope to work in pediatric surgery someday. Friedrich noticed that she'd taken only a few bites of her food and had worried her napkin into a ball. Elizabeth, what's wrong? She looked from Father to Friedrich. She set down her napkin, folded her hands in front of her plate, and took a deep breath. Before Uncle gets here, there's something I have to tell you both. I hope you will understand. She sat up straighter. I've been reassigned to a Berlin hospital. I won't be staying in Trossingen or working with Dr. Braun.
Berlin? Father's eyes twitched with disappointment. Why? It was all arranged that you'd be here.
Yes, I know, said Elizabeth. I only found out a few days ago. Dr. Braun has already been notified.
Friedrich stared into his plate, his heart sinking. There'd be no late-night talks, or passing a novel back and forth, or Sunday afternoons playing binnacle. He looked at Father, not knowing if he felt worse for himself or for him. Father's face had wilted.
How long can you stay?
Only the weekend. I leave Monday morning on the earliest train.
But we've seen so little of you.
Father blinked back tears.
I know this comes as a surprise, Father, and I'm sorry for that. But this position will be good for my career, inside and outside the hospital. Can't you talk to someone and plead your case for Trossingen? Asked Friedrich.
No, I requested to be reassigned. For a few moments, the only sound was the cuckoo clock ticking in the hall. Father's face wrinkled with confusion.
Requested it?
Why? Asked Friedrich. Hadn't she wanted to be with them? So much has changed for me. Berlin is the center of many of my activities now. I should have told you the last time I was home, but there never seemed to be the right moment. You see, after I moved to Stuttgart, Marguerite and I joined the League of German Girls.
Father's head snapped back as if he'd been slapped.
Elizabeth, you cannot be serious.
Friedrich choked on his spetzel.
You're a Hitlerite?